ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present the Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of the Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Ryan McDonald, our producer. It is a not-so-busy Monday in the city of Houston when it comes to free agency. Jeff Okuda, the latest one-year deal. Lonnie Johnson is back. The Woo! Houston Texan that we all wanted to come back. J.J. Watt? Nah. We don't need J.J. Watt back. We need Lonnie Johnson to be reunited with the Houston Texans. A lot of the city right now, Blankers, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. A lot of the listeners are not very happy. A lot of Texans fans are not very happy. Saquon Barkley, off the board. He is gone. Kirk Cousins, just kidding. Just kidding on the Kirk Cousins front. Christian Wilkins, off the board. He's going to Las Vegas. Saquon Barkley is going to Philly. He's an Eagle. All of these guys that, oh, big name hunting, let's go get one of these big fishes, they're not coming to the Houston Texans.
No, they're not. Add Josh Jacobs to that list if you wanted to go cheaper, Pollard and Swift. You look at it and you go, it's understandable for the average fan to start scratching their temple and wonder what's going on. But the fact of the matter is that everything that's gone by the wayside so far, for the most part, there's still something that can be done, still a different way to do this, to where there's not any reason to panic just because they haven't done anything and jumped real quick. I was talking to Brian before the show and just said, hey, the whole thing was I thought the most of the value would be on the cap casualties. With every signing, there's going to be more and more people that are cut. You see Green Bay clearing house. You see other teams that are clearing house to sign the new guys that they're bringing in. With that means there's going to be some good football players out on the market too. Yeah, you've lost some. You haven't done anything yet, but you still have plenty of time and there's still plenty of possibilities for this squad. I saw people calling for Nick's job. Like Nick Caserio should be fired. He hasn't done anything yet. Someone tweeted Kay Adams and said, we need you or someone of at least your competence level to take over the Texans from Nick Caserio. He doesn't know what he's doing. She goes, he turned the franchise around in a year's time. Relax.
Yeah, that's just a Twitter dude who's thirsty, though.
Yeah, but it's just,
He's shooting his shot in a weird way.
I guess. I'm just saying, he wasn't the only one. We've seen a lot of people losing their mind that they haven't been more active.
Yeah, that's where I'm at with all of this. Like, whenever we started free agency, we started, okay, the Texans have tons of money. They're going to, you know, be in on all these players, quarterback on a rookie deal. I'm not sure the way to build a team is by going after all of these big-name free agents that are signing for tons of money. You're going stars and scrubs instead of filling out a deep, deep roster. And whenever we play that Nick Caserio combine sound, we heard the clue from Nick Caserio. We want to be balanced. We want to be deep. Oh, okay. Well, if you want to be balanced and deep, you're not signing any of these dudes for $27 million. You're not signing John Gernard, who leaves you. Now, there is an exception that I want to make about John Gernard a little bit later. But you're not going to overspend for Blake Cashman. You're not going to overspend for Wilkins. You're not going to overspend for Saquon Barkley because he wants to spread that money out over the entire 53 to build the best football team that he can build. I had people in the Twitter mentions, well, you know, the Texans fans really wanted to get all of these players. Well, what is the objective? Is the objective for Nick Caserio to build a winner, or is it to excite the fans? Winning is going to excite the fans. He's going to do whatever he can to win. So whenever I see what all of these players are signing for, Wilkins, which got like over $25 million. John Gernard, $19 million. Could have tagged him at $21 million, a little under $21 million. Blake Cashman, Saquon Barkley, a little like around $12.5 million. I haven't seen one contract yet today for these big name guys because, like Lonnie Johnson, I actually think is a shrewd depth signing. You need to have a few guys who are making $2.5 million for 1 year. So I don't mind the Lonnie Johnson signing. He's going to be your fourth or fifth corner that plays special teams. The Jeff Okuda, okay. The guy used to be a top 10 pick. He hasn't played very well in Atlanta. Worst case scenario, he's your fourth corner. Best case scenario, maybe he's getting some start. Maybe starting alongside Derek Stingley, mm-hmm. depending on what he does in your system and what he does with D'Amico Ryans. I haven't seen one contract, though, from one of these big names that I would have signed. I wouldn't have signed Saquon. I wouldn't have signed Grenard. I wouldn't have signed Christian Wilkins.
No, all three of those guys got grossly overpaid. And the minute I saw the numbers, too, I was like, well, that's fine. Then the Texans dodged a bullet because they don't need to be throwing out that kind of money to try and do those kind of things when, like you said, the writing was on the wall the way they were going to handle this anyway. And you're seeing it with these one-year deals and some of the shorter deals to try and find value or find a guy that's got something left that maybe hasn't been developed the right way. In the meantime, this is what Nick does. And I still think that there's going to be moves to be made. But I think right now what he's doing is exactly what we had described throughout this entire offseason that he was going to be focused on doing. And that is build it too deep, get a lot of depth, and then along the way between the draft and your resources, shrewdly find ways to improve and replace your starters. We don't know who's going to start at this point, but we see depth being added to the roster. I don't think Blake Cashman, for as good as he was here, was worth a three-year deal averaging, what, around $8 million a year. I just think that's overpaying, and I think that that's what we said free agency was going to be about in the early stages. Now when the dust settles, let's see how Nick goes about his business, because I think there's still a ton of good football players out there.
Yeah. Did the Texans swing and miss? 713-780-3776. There is a new signing for the Houston Texans, a big splash for the Houston Texans. They've added some depth to the defensive line. They have added a player who finished with double-digit sacks last year. I'm dead serious. He had double-digit sacks last year.
You had me looking the other way, like, here you go, trying to set people up on something. But then when you say that, I'm like, wait a minute.
They're not going to like the name. The production, I think they're going to like, because they lost 12.5 sacks with Jonathan Grenard, $19 million to Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
According to reports, Dylan Delgado has this.
Unless you were going to say the guy's name was Dylan Delgado. I was like,
it's pretty close. It's Danico Autry. So there is a D there. Danico Autry last year, Tennessee Titans, he had 11.5 sacks. He had 8 sacks the year prior to that. He had 9 sacks the year prior to that. Going to be 34 years old next year.
More breaking news. Devin Singletary back to the Texans.
There we go. Look at Will and Dylan. Will and Dylan, Nick Caserio.
From Ian Rappaport. So seems official, but no details in the contract.
Look at that. If business is picking up around Kirby. You sign a double-digit sack guy a year ago. And now you sign Devin Singletary. Be honest, did any of you in the Hive know who Danico Autry was before 2 seconds ago? I've heard the name.
I've heard the name because
he was a Titan.
Yeah, and he showed up on like a lot of those tiers lists that we talked about from Bill Barnwell.
I didn't even notice.
He was on those tiers lists.
If you would have told me that Danico Autry had over 10 sacks last year, I would have slapped you in the face. You're lying to me. You're not telling me the truth. He had 11.5 sacks last year.
I never would have said. I could have never predicted that. If you could have put me on a quiz show and said true or false, that's false every time.
I was stunned when I pulled up his Pro Football Reference. Look at Nick Caserio cook. Like John Grenard gets $19 million, 12.5 sacks. He gets $6.5 million more than the sacks that he had this year. And Nick Caserio's over here getting a 10.5 sack guy for a $5 million deal. He's getting $10 million 2 years.
Okay.
Will and Dylan, son of a gun. Look at Nick Caserio getting return on investment.
Yeah.
Look at Nick Caserio get some value. He's like, cooking.
Like, if you want to be critical, wait till while the dust settles. Wait till everything's done.
Uh-oh, we have a battle of insiders. There's another insider reporting Devin Singletary to the Giants. I don't know what's going on right now.
Well, that's not good. Now, who's the insiders that we're battling? Who says he's coming back?
Well, it was Ian Rappaport, and this one's from Jeremy Fowler.
Boy, they're both top of the list, yeah, so that's a little scary.
Let me dig into this. Hold on.
Maybe one of them's fake. Maybe one of them's not good. But is there a contract that's been signed today that you don't like?
For the Texans?
Yeah, is there a contract that's been signed in free agent? A little update on that contract, by the way. The guy who tweeted that out now has deleted the tweet. It's apparently a 2-year, $20 million deal. So $10 million per year, not $5 million per year.
Okay. Well, that seems more on par with the guy that's
breaking
making,
news.
I mean,
Texans,
double-digit sacks.
The Texans will need a new punter. Cameron Johnson has gone to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that was kind of the writing on the wall there. That's sad.
That
I like
sucks,
Cam Johnson.
He's good.
I like Cam Johnson.
Yeah, I did too.
The Texans also spend money on special teams guys.
Like, they do.
They brought back Boyd. They brought back Murray. They signed Lonnie Johnson, Kymie Fairbairn, and, of course, the legend John Weeks.
That's why I thought it was a no-brainer they'd get something done with Johnston, too, because he was very, very good for them, albeit that everybody capitalizes and wants to overpublicize the 80-yard punt that broke the best punt in team history. He was a very reliable, consistent, good punter.
You know why the Texans don't want to bring back Cam Johnston, though? Because they're going to be scoring. They're going to move the ball. They're not going to need a punter.
So one update here. It looks like Ian Rappaport might have been wrong, but both these tweets, one from Ian Rappaport, one from Jeremy Fowler, both from their official Twitter accounts, but it looks like Schefter has weighed in, and it looks like Devin Singletary is actually gone. Adam Schefter is backing up Fowler's reporting and saying Devin Singletary to the Giants on a 3-year, $16.5 million contract, up to worth $19.5.
So you got over five.
So Singletary's gone.
Now they're really scrambling a little bit.
You know the lone running back on the Texans roster right now? Damian Pierce.
So Ogunbowale expired?
I don't think he's under contract.
Okay.
Yeah. Damian Pierce.
Yeah. I got RB1. An answer for you.
It seems official.
There's a lot of names out there.
Singletary's gone.
I got a perfect one, but that's, yeah.
Who is it?
Aaron Jones.
Yeah, that's what I figured you were saying.
I mean, I've said this prior to him. I had heard writing on the wall that because the Josh Jacobs signing in Green Bay completely took me by surprise. I didn't see that coming. But there, I had said to you guys last week, I think it was, that there was a clause in his contract that they could renegotiate his contract to a lower cap figure without his permission, and all he could do was ask to be released or traded. And I was like, oh, my God, he's represented by Drew Rosenhaus. There's no way that's going to go over well. And then I started thinking, well, he's got Texas ties. He went to UTEP. Dallas and Houston would be perfect fits. The only thing that I think of is that McCarthy might be the guy that gets him over to Dallas.
Yeah, they need a running back.
Yeah, they do too. I mean, both Texas teams are, I don't want to say desperate yet, but both Texas teams, I think Dallas is probably going to kick the tires hard on Henry.
I would love Aaron Jones.
Oh my God, because
I would love Aaron Jones.
He doesn't look like he should be able to, but between the tackles, he is a far better version of Devin Singletary because he can catch the football out of the backfield really well, and he can run between the tackles, and he's tough. Aaron Jones in a Texans uniform would be fantastic.
880. I like him. I'm a Derrick Henry guy. I wouldn't mind Derrick Henry here.
I'm not feeling that one.
I don't like it as much without Devin Singletary. Like that's a big loss.
That's huge.
Because now you swung and missed on Barkley. Swift is gone. Josh Jacobs is gone. Pollard is gone. Like you're kind of down to Henry. Jones is out there.
It'll be interesting to see. And we're probably never going to get the answer to this. But it'd be interesting to see what was the reason why the Texans passed. Was it the third year the Giants gave him? I'm guessing that's the answer. Because the AAV was right about $5 million. It's just a little over $5 million. That doesn't seem unreasonable at all. But I'm guessing maybe Casario maybe set a cutoff of 2 years only, and the Giants went past it with the third year.
Or maybe he was spending all of his time resources on Saquon Barkley. And Devin Singletary didn't fill it up.
Yeah, there was the report from DJ Bieniemy that the Texans were, quote, aggressively pursuing Saquon Barkley. So that could have been it as well.
They said the Texans, one of the reports I saw was the Texans offered 3 and 33.
For Saquon?
Yeah, and obviously the bidding got higher than they probably wanted.
Yeah,
and then they pulled out.
Detail. All I saw was DJ saying they were pursuing him aggressively.
Well, yeah. Not too aggressively because he's going to the Eagles. 8807, you are misreading Rapp's tweets. He reported Singletary to Giants. Don't put us in here with Brian. Brian was reading those tweets. Yeah, Blakers and I weren't reading those
we're
tweets.
We're doing live radio. He's doing live reading of tweets.
This is why we're the talent and Brian's the producer is because he misreads Ian Rappaport tweets. That's why.
We got there in the end.
He's saying y'all. What do you mean y'all? There was one guy saying that. It wasn't the bees. At least the killer bees. We got a bee behind there. He's saying killer bee. 713-780-ESPN. HRP listener line 713-780-3776. We're on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. We're on YouTube as well. Just search ESPN Houston on YouTube. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. Brian's at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. I'm expecting chaos on our show today.
Love it.
When things happen, we'll react. What are the Texans going to do? Anything else up their sleeves? The Will and Dylan Nick Caserio signed a defensive end to replace John Grenard. He had 11 and a half sacks. Let's hear his name's Autry from Tennessee. Have the Texans swung and missed? I haven't seen a deal today where I'm upset that Nick Caserio wasn't the team doing that. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to break, it's time to give your home a facelift. Why don't you install some new siding? Allstate Siding and Windows offers a huge selection of colors and energy-efficient quality siding that provides you with that hard outer shell of protection for your biggest investment, your house. They have tons of specials going on right now, like $2,500 off on a complete siding job with 24 months interest fee free. It's family run for over three generations, and they are here to help. I mean, Mary, Mike, the entire family, they are at your beck and call. They are working with you to try and help you to get in the right direction with the right products. They have Allstate Siding and Windows, so both siding and windows covered. They can do all or both or just one or the other, and take care of you every step of the way. The first step, call them, have them come look at what you want done or you're considering doing, and they will give you their recommendations. 832-204-1936, 832-204-1936, or you can connect with them online, allstatewindowsandsiding.com. They have discounts for senior citizens, first responders, and military. I just had the windows put in on my house. I could not be happier. They've got deals on windows, deals on siding, and they're the best in the business that always take care of Houstonians. Check them out today. Go to allstatewindowsandsiding.com or call them 832-204-1936.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brian plays the music around here. He's behind the glass. He's Blank on Branham.
And he reads the tweets.
Yeah. Incorrectly.
Not always accurately, yeah.
Always accurately.
You just made the same billing as Aaron Wilson.
Are you playing your feels here, Brian?
A little bit.
You sad?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the lyric in the line is, today is the greatest day I've ever known.
Heavy sarcasm.
Maybe.
Heavy sarcasm. This does not sound like a happy song.
Although, actually, even if the Texans don't do what I want, I still enjoy the craziness of free agency.
Oh, I do, too.
It's still an enjoyable day.
Yeah. Are you sad? 713-780-3776. Texan Twitter's flipping out.
Does the way they've done this and set it up now with free agency with the NFL, it rivals the NBA in terms of the first day of tampering.
Yeah, this is a legal tampering period.
Legal.
Period. But, like, they're agreeing to terms.
Yeah.
Like, in the first minute of legal tampering, they're all of a sudden agreeing to terms. You had that deal mapped out in 60 seconds.
This is exactly what the first day of tampering in the NBA looks like, and it's why people love it, because it's nonstop refreshing of Twitter and watching the bottom line and the crawls and every bit of information on your phone, because things are happening every single minute, and it's awesome.
Yeah, I don't hate what the Texans have done in these first few minutes. 713-780-3776. I know a lot of people are unhappy. Eric the driver, can Matt Amendola punt? Matt Amendola got cut by the San Antonio Brahmas for a YouTube star. For what it's worth. 3878, you guys have to be kidding, exclamation point. The season they had, they have money and had a chance to surround CJ with real weapons, and now they fill in depth spots. Two exclamation points. Y'all can't really think they had a good day. I haven't said good.
No one
I'm
said
just
that.
Saying they've avoided big contracts, and there isn't a contract out there that I would have given if I'm Nick Caserio.
But there's a big difference between saying they had a good day and not being worried yet, not being concerned yet. Because the other shoe has to drop. Yeah, you're losing some guys. Yeah, some of the big names are falling off the board. We expected that. But at the same time, they're not done yet. So we need to hold, and before we pass judgment, we need to just kind of take it down a notch and wait until the dust settles and we see everything that Nick Caserio has done or not done before we go start passing failing grades and getting all hyped up.
Yeah, I would push back a little bit on the no deals that I wish the Texans would have signed, because both DeAndre Swift and Tony Pollard came in at numbers I think we've talked about being fine for a running back. Maybe you could argue they're not the running back you want, and that's a different conversation, but basically $8 million AAV, I think we were all happy with that AAV if they'd gotten a running back that we liked.
Oh, running back that we liked.
Yeah, I know. If you don't like Pollard or Swift...
It's not that I don't like them. I just figured that they were more of a second, third tier, more $5, $6
million. Yeah.
Because I do think fair. That the AAV is higher than I would have felt comfortable giving Swift and Pollard.
No doubt. Yes. I think if you were getting 8, 9 for Saquon and or Jacobs, then you were thinking you got a deal. But there's no way that they were expecting to get anything less than 10 to 12,
right.
And both guys got paid.
Yeah, so Swift and Pollard at that figure, I wouldn't have given that to. I would rather, now they didn't re-sign Singletary, that's an issue.
That's a big thing.
But maybe they get Aaron Jones at 5, like, because he's a bargain, because he's just got cut. Like, I don't know. Like,
Derrick Henry's still out there.
Derrick Henry's still out
there. Eckler's still out there.
And that's why.
Right, Eckler too.
I forgot Eckler was still out there. But that's why what Blanker said is right. Like, if the Texans go the entire free agency period and they go into the draft with $50 million to spend and they didn't sign anybody, okay, we got issues.
Yep.
We have issues. But look at the guys that are still out there. You mentioned any of those running backs, whoever. Like, okay, running back, starting running back. maybe they make a play on Calvin Ridley. Not that I want them to,
right.
But what if they do? Like, he's still out there. Curtis Samuels is a wide receiver that we mentioned as a veteran that we're okay with. How about if they sign Eric Armstead in the next two
hours?
That's
the biggest thing that trumps the Wilkins thing, because as much as Christian Wilkins got overpaid, and that's a mammoth deal for the Raiders, and they needed to make a splash, we talked about the teams that just needed to make an impact, even if their team wasn't ready to make an impact going a long way in the playoffs. You look at a guy like that that knows D'Amico, that D'Amico knows him, and you put him in the middle of your defensive line, you're instantaneously better no matter what else you do and what you start putting around, because you just made Will Anderson better by replacing him and doing what D'Amico wanted to do with more talent on the front of that defensive line. So that's one. That's a name I'm interested in.
Yeah. I mean, you just signed D'Amico Autry. I mean, how are you not excited about D'Amico Autry? His name rhymes with the Houston Texans head coach's first name. He went to East Mississippi Community College, which was portrayed on Netflix. What is that show called? I can't remember what the show was called. The one on Netflix where they travel
the
around.
Chance the, you?
Last Chance U.
So there you go.
And I don't think that Autry was there when this was filmed because he's 34 years old. But how can you not be excited about having a player who was a graduate of East Mississippi Community College? He spent time in Scuba. The greatness of Scuba, Mississippi. That's where football players are born. You can't be excited about that.
About five
I thought that's where
there.
Underwater exploration went.
Okay. That's a lot of sacks though in the last 3 years. Like we're having a little bit of fun at D'Amico Autry's expense. He had 11 and a half sacks last season. He had 8 the year before that. He had 9 the year before that. That's more than Grenard's had in the last 3 years.
Do we have the details on his contract yet?
I saw $10 million per year, $20 million over two.
That's fine. So it's basically like a show. Yeah, it's kind of on par with what they've done with Sheldon Rankins, Malik Collins, and but just 2 years.
It's half of the Grenard deal for more production in the last 3 or 4 years. Now he's older. He's going to be 34 next year.
34 is the concern.
Autry is?
One of the topics you brought up last week, Jeremy, is would you rather have a defensive tackle who gets you 9 sacks or an edge rusher who gets you 12? Mm-hmm. But yeah, D'Amico Autry is giving you that number. Obviously, the question and the concern is the age, but if he's giving you that level of production, there is red flags with the age again, but it's certainly something to be excited about if he gives you that production.
Give me D'Amico Autry and Eric Armstead and tell me that's not a good defensive line.
I'd sign up for that.
You got Collins and Armstead in the middle, and then you got Autry and Will Anderson on the outside. And here's the thing that Autry, like, we talked a lot about this too. Like, I want the Texans to sign players that are capable starters. Like, you go into the draft, this guy's a capable starter. D'Amico Autry's a capable starter. If Chop Robinson falls to you at 23 and you love Chop Robinson, you're taking Chop Robinson.
That's exactly the scenario you painted.
And Autry's played a little bit defensive tackle too. Now, it looks to me like he's more of a pass rush specialist, play inside. Like, hey, it's 3rd and 11. Let's move him to the middle, and then you bring in your edge rusher, and then you have 3 pass rushers that can get to the quarterback. But, yeah, this is the scenario that I painted. You sign a guy mm-hmm. who's capable of starting, but he's still not – like, you're not paying him so much where you're forced to start him over a potential rookie that you selected 23.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You can create camp competition, and competition brings out the best in a lot of players, and that's what organizations strive for. And no matter what, you're deeper on the rush, no matter what you did, because we saw late in the season what they did when they brought in Barnett, when they got some guys to give them some extra activity, along with the Jerry Hugheses of the world and the guys they already had. You're always going to need more than 2 pass rushers. If you get 3 in a rotation and they can be more, they're more fresh when they come in and go out and they go get after it, it's a great situation to be. And you're not breaking the bank, because we see the numbers of the guys that everybody wanted, and they're not really calculating, well, I only have so much money to spend. This is why we said they're not going to do the boom and bust, and they're not going to go 20-plus million on a guy that you want them to go get, because they have a ton of needs to fill.
Lamont's asking, would you sign Clowney for a year at 9? Clowney would have been on my radar. Now it might be a little bit too much, maybe like 7, 8 million. But now that you signed D'Amico Autry, you're not in the market for another defensive end. Like, you're probably done signing defensive ends now, because you have Autry, who's a capable starter, opposite of Will Anderson. You still have Horton on a rookie deal. You might sign some veteran like Lonnie Johnson type of deals, like, or a Jeff Okudah type of deal, where it's like a 2.5 to 4.5 million 1 year deal, but you're signing depth at this point. The moment that you signed D'Amico Autry, all of those like journeyman defensive ends that rack up sacks, I think, are gone. Like, I think the idea of like a Danielle Hunter, I think that's gone. Like, you're signing Autry to be a guy that you're comfortable starting opposite of Will Anderson. If you draft over him, okay, well then, like, he's your third defensive end, but you're not signing over him now.
Who in the world thought that Hunter would still be on the market and Grenard would already be gone to his old team for the amount of money that he got?
I guess youth. I guess they're buying the youth there. 713-780-ESPN. Yeah, Aaron Wilson reported 2 years, $20 million, $10.5 guaranteed for Danico Autry. So maybe it's all of that's guaranteed in the first year. And then that second year is basically like a team option. Somebody texted in and said it's been reported 10 years or $10 million, 2 years. I saw that originally, too. That has since been deleted. Aaron Wilson says $20 million, 2 years, $10.5 guaranteed. I would imagine that they put all that guarantee mostly in the front year. I would imagine at least nine of the guarantees in the first year. That way they can get out of it year
Especially
two.
With his age, yeah, because of his age is a factor.
Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Lamont, you're in the Hive of the Bees. What's up, Lamont?
Hey, what's the deal, fellas? Hey, man, I'm kind of happy about this, watching everybody freak out. I'm right where I need to be. I want Henry. I want Henry, but I wouldn't mind Aaron Jones either. What I do fear is if they come out of this free agency with no running backs, and they become totally predictable in the draft, and that's going to really suck. And that's all I have, fellas.
Yeah, look, there is a fear factor in all that, because even before the show when I was tweeting, like, you re-sign Motor and then you consider what else is still left on the market. Now that you don't re-sign Motor, now, like Jeremy said, you've only got one running back in the building currently. And even if you do go with a drafted running back, say in the third or fourth round, that's not good enough for a team that expects to be good next year in terms of depth and the ability to be creative that Slowick wants. To have a true guy that can run between the tackles and a guy that can catch out of the backfield, there's work to be done there. But again, let's not panic until it's time to. We know who's out of the building, but we know that there's still plenty of resources to get into the building and guys out there that could make a difference. And I think in most cases, guys out there that could make you better. I mean, Lamont and I were going back and forth on Aaron Jones, and he likes Henry better, but we were talking about both of them. The biggest thing to me is Aaron Jones gives you the best of Singletary and more. Because he can catch the ball, too, and he can run between the tackles every single down.
Mm-hmm.
And Packer fans are going, it's no big deal. We got Josh Jacobs. We're fine. You forget, you beat Dallas because of Aaron Jones. You were in the game against San Francisco in the playoffs because of Aaron Jones. He's got plenty left in the tank, and that was just a cap casualty. Now, they're talking that if he doesn't get an offer that he likes out on the market, he could come back. There's no way he's coming back because he's not going to accept the fact that he deserves to take a pay cut.
I like Jacobs more than Jones, but I like Jones more than Henry. And I like Henry. I'd be totally okay if Henry's
Jacobs better than Jones for Green Bay?
Period.
Really?
Yeah, period. Okay. Yeah, I think Jacobs is a better player at this stage than Aaron Jones is. But I think Jones is still better than Henry.
I guess we get to see a different Jacobs than we saw kind of wanting to get out of the Raiders and on the one-year deal.
I mean, he ran for 1,500 yards 2 years ago.
But last year he held out, and then he didn't look like the same running back, and there's a lot of things that could factor in.
I still think he looked better than Jones,
That
though.
Would be my concern, because Jones was hurt for a significant portion of the season last year, but then when he came back...
Yeah, but that's the problem, though. Jones is also, 3 years older? So, I mean, running backs aren't going to get more healthy as they approach 30.
It's funny how that works.
And then Green Bay turned around and used the money on McKinney, the safety from the Giants, and paid him $17 a year.
Who signed him?
Green Bay.
They signed McKinney. I like McKinney, the player.
He's pretty good.
$17 a year is pretty
steep. That's a lot of money, though.
An oversaturated safety market, though. But the Texans are going to have to sign a free agent. Like, the only running back they have under contract is Dameon Pierce. They're not going to go into the draft with only Dameon Pierce under contract. They're probably going to sign two running backs.
We're 4 hours into free agency. The Astros took, 2.5 months to sign Josh Hader? There's still time for them to make a move that makes you happy.
No, we have to get it. We have to have it. We have to have it now.
I think the one thing we've seen so far, too, of all the different markets for the different position groups, safety's the one that hasn't been – I think that still there's a lot of quality out there, that if the Texans are looking to upgrade at safety, they can, because of the fact that there's plenty of good names that are out there that are top-of-the-line free agents, if that's one way that they want to go, now that it seems like they're done with the defensive line.
I think, defensive end.
Yeah, Armstead would be an addition.
If they sign him, they're done.
They signed the big run stopper from Jacksonville over the weekend, but he doesn't excite me. I can't even – I'm looking for the right way to spell it.
It's FATUKASI.
I'd have to write that down.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, and they also have Heinisch under contract, and they brought back Davis. So I think they're looking for a starting defensive tackle, and then they're done. Like, and if it's Eric Armstead, they're done.
I'd love that.
I would too. I wouldn't hate if it's Rankins. I wouldn't help it. Yeah, I
still don't
back
understand what has made him like taboo with the Texans, or that he's not that DeMeco wasn't happy enough. Because I still think I was very satisfied with his play last
year.
Maybe
he wasn't happy with John Gernard.
Maybe
they said no to John Gernard twice.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe he wasn't happy with John Gernard. Maybe he likes this DeMeco Autry more than he likes John Gernard. I'm sure they like DeMeco Autry more at $10 million than John Gernard at $19 million. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Do the Texans swing and miss? Why are you all panicking? Why are you upset? It's still plenty of time, plenty of free agents for the Houston Texans. Don't you think? Don't you think that there's still plenty of time? I haven't seen a contract today that I wish Caserio would have given. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. It's a great pleasure of mine to tell you all about Gentle Ben for a variety of reasons. At the top of that list, I believe what I say. Gentle Ben is the best, whether it's the vodka, best in the state, the gin, best in the market, or the bourbon, the double platinum winner at the prestigious Ascot Awards. Gentle Ben uses their innovative, revolutionary technology that eliminates impurities for the cleanest, smoothest spirits you will ever taste. Smooth, clean, eliminates the burn. Don't labor through your drink. Enjoy it. Savor it. You can do that with Gentle Ben. You'll love what's not in it, including gluten. That's right. There's no gluten in Gentle Ben, but Gentle Ben isn't going to brag about that. All spirits are naturally gluten-free. Stop by Ben's Bar at the Toyota Center. Stop by Ben's Bar at Minute Maid Park. Astro season right around the corner. Head to the Gentle Ben tasting room. Stop at your favorite liquor store. Ask for it at your favorite restaurant or bar. Or you can just head to gentleben.com, learn their incredible story, legacy that continues to this day, and you can order straight from the website, the vodka, the gin, the bourbon, the whiskey. Order it all at gentleben.com and have it delivered straight to you. Gentle Ben, highest craft, softest sip.
1560.
Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Brian's in his feels, although I love this song. This song is so good. Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash. Every time I hear Johnny Cash now, I just think of Relief Pitcher.
This was the remake of who originally sang this? I forget.
I'd have to look it
was
up.
Was it the Foo Fighters?
No.
But Johnny Cash isn't remaking the Foo Fighters. The Foo Fighters are remaking Johnny Cash.
No, this was somebody else's song, and then Johnny Cash did it.
You're right. It is a remake, but it wasn't the Foo Fighters. I can't imagine it was the Foo Fighters.
Willie Nelson?
It was Nine Inch Nails.
Who did it first?
Yes. Like, Johnny Cash recently did this.
Well, not recently.
Yeah, not too recently.
I mean,
but no, this song was originally written in 94.
Yeah, really? that tracks yeah. Nine Inch Nails.
And I don't know whenever he covered it or whatever, but this is not his song. This is a cover.
Huh. From a more modern, that's Nine Inch Nails. Crazy thing is how modern the band is.
I love this song. This is one of my favorite songs. I didn't tell Brian to play it, but it's called Hurt. And I guess Brian's hurt by how the Houston Texans have handled this.
Not us, you. We're all right right now,
And we are, not everybody is. What were you saying?
So DJ Bieniemy, friend of the show, friend of the station, tweeted out an hour ago, the Texans are in the mix for former Ravens linebacker Patrick Queen.
Huh.
But I'm hearing folks around Queen aren't sure if Texans can come up with the money to nail him, but we'll see what happens.
Phrasing.
Well, I'll tell you what, Patrick Queen would be really good in this defense.
I honestly don't want him here.
Why?
I think he's too much like Christian Harris. I don't think he's enough of a middle linebacker. Like, he didn't play that well in the middle for Baltimore. And then when they brought in Roquan Smith, he played middle and they moved Patrick Queen outside.
Outside, yeah.
So I'm not – I think he's too like Christian Harris. I prefer the Luvu guy from Carolina. I prefer
Frankie from Tennessee. Guys are still available.
Frankie's really active. I like him.
I want one of those guys. Like, give me one of those two guys. I prefer not Patrick Queen, quite honestly. I want Eric Armstead. He's my top target at this point. Now, the scarcity of running back is starting, like, I can get a little bit of people starting to get a little bit worried about the running back situation. Because, like I said, Damian Pierce is the only one under contract. Saquon's off the board. Swift is off the board. Pollard is off the board. Singletary, your own, who you like, we all thought he was the safety blanket.
Mm-hmm.
We thought that he was the safety blanket. He would easily come back. Okay, well, he's gone. Like, Pickens are starting to get a little bit slimmed out, that running back spot. You're looking at Derrick Henry. You mentioned the name Eckler, which people hate the name Eckler. Zach Moss was a name I saw the Texans interested in, but I like Moss more as like a platoon running back, my second running back, than my starting running back. Aaron Jones is out there now, but if you don't hit on one of those guys, you're looking pretty bleak in that running back spot.
You're looking at what? If Cincinnati moves on with Mixon, you're looking at a guy. Yeah, and I know you weren't as jazzed about that as I would be, at least considering him, but not as a full-time back anymore. I mean, the safety blanket that everybody thought was going to be back because of how positively everyone in the building spoke about him. Casario and D'Amico and players. Motor this, Motor that. Motor's attitude. Motor's the greatest. We love Motor. Well, guess what? I mean, the engine's cooking in New York now, and now what are you going to do? Because you got a car right now that doesn't have a motor, and you got no one backing him up to fill him in, and I don't think we're going to revert back to Pierce being your number one running back.
Yeah, I think he's more your fourth string than your first string. KJ said he sees Queen to Seattle. I haven't seen that hit the timeline yet.
Me either.
But he's usually all over it, which to me would be a bullet dodge. I really don't want that. 713-780-3776. Get you a few of the texts here from the Hive. Albert Bundy still available. I mean, he could compete with Damian Pierce for that backup spot. Who is a better high school football player, Al Bundy or Paul Gallant?
Paul Gallant certainly talks about it more.
Than Al Bundy?
Yeah. No, I know what I said.
Okay. Al Bundy, what did he ran for like 300 yards in the state championship game?
I think
so. Something like that. Pretty similar stories.
Yeah.
Pretty similar. I think Al Bundy's team success was better.
So you think the future of Married with Children is Paul's look ahead to Paul's next 10 years?
Would it shock you?
It would.
Actually, it would.
I don't think he wants to reproduce. I mean, I think he'd have to settle in on one woman.
I don't think – yeah, I don't think –
there's a lot of cards in the air there that I don't think are settled in 5 years.
Brandon T., I'm not mad at all about the Texans not overpaying the big-name free agents. I believe in D'Amico and Casario to build this roster the correct way. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Do you believe in D'Amico and Casario to build this roster the correct way? 713-780-3776. 9492, do we care about Jeff Okuda at all?
Yeah, I think we care about a guy that's still young enough to possibly be the kind of guy that everybody projected him to be when he came out of college as being a top three pick in this league. I think that we've seen the Texans take on busts, first round busts in the past to take a shot. The worst you can do is take a shot on him and see if he can fit somewhere in your defensive backfield as a reserve. The best you can do is replace Stevie Nelson. So you got him. You didn't overpay to get him. Just see what you got.
Coming into today, Derek Stingley and then Boyd, the guy who they brought back yesterday, they were the only two corners in the room. So, like, and you usually carry somewhere between four to five corners, usually five. They did bring back Denzel Ward. Denzel Ward's going to be your nickel corner, though, more than likely, at least fighting for a job. I imagine he'd be the starter going into next year. So it was a depth piece. I think that he's a depth guy. I don't think that they're signing him to start. But he also could be that fringe starter where you can draft over.
We have breaking Texans news.
What position?
Running back.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Oh, defensive back.
What are you doing to us today?
Sheesh, I thought, here we go. We got to go. We got our RB1.
The Texans have agreed to terms of defensive back Mike Ford on a two-year deal worth $4.5 million total.
Who?
Exactly.
I thought he was a first baseman.
Was he Colts?
It beats me.
I thought Mike Ford was a run. No, he's a corner.
Four.
He's listed as a running back. Is this a guy who used to be a running back and he moved a corner?
I don't know. Ian Rappaport's tweet says DB, so defensive back to me.
What team was he on last year?
Doesn't say. I have no idea.
Was this guy even playing football?
I don't know. I don't know who this guy is.
Is it Mike Ford or Michael Ford?
It says Mike Ford.
There's a Michael Ford that used to be a running back. I think that's what led to your confusion there, Brian, perhaps.
Cleveland Browns.
Corner last year for Cleveland. Appeared in 16 games, played one.
Played one game.
He played in 16, he started one. He had one interception.
Oh.
Seems like the Texans have signed a bunch of fourth and fifth corners.
They've signed three of them.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody that we actually want starting. At least in my opinion.
Then their pass rush and defensive line better be damn good.
D'Amico Autry better bring it.
Did you see the deal, the terms to that?
Yeah, it's 2 years, $4.5 million.
2 years?
2 years, 4.5. So an average of 2.25
depth,
per year.
Depth, Jeremy, depth.
It's completely just depth. That's all it is.
So I wonder if these three guys are going to be battling for the starting corner spot. Mike Ford, Okuda, and Lonnie Johnson. Running out of room.
Or does that tell you they're willing to take corner in the first round? If they're taking a bunch of guys that are the fourth and fifth corners, are they looking for a corner in the draft that's going to be their starter opposite of
Stingley? No, I think they're doing the philosophy that we mentioned the other day, where they're going to have guys who are capable of starting, and they're going to go into the draft with capable starters at every position. And if they draft over the guy, they draft over the guy.
Yeah, but I think that tells you the corner's not settled, though, is what I'm saying.
Definitely not.
You're right. They might decide to draft over them. But to me, this tells me they're leaving a corner open for the possibility of drafting a guy, because I can't imagine they go into the season with Derek Stingley and this group of guys they've signed today.
I hope you're right.
Yeah, I don't.
But you can't control the draft at 23.
No, you're right. Yeah,
no, but we also know the depth of this draft.
Yeah,
is
we guys. Had Matt Miller on. He said corner had a lot of depth.
Are you making?
Could be a
corner
in the second too?
But are you making your pick on March 11th?
No,
you shouldn't be.
I don't think you are.
You shouldn't be.
I don't think you are. Like, you think defensive end is set?
No.
Like,
not
you
at
can
all.
Still you can still draft a defensive end at 23, even though you signed Autry.
Yeah, true. I'm just first and second round picks. Maybe I should broaden it out. But so this feels like defense in the first and second round because they haven't taken anybody that solved any.
I've been
real
saying
issues.
All along the first round for sure. That's, I want to go defense.
That's three guys who are all fringe NFL players.
Yeah, I think those are just roster fills right now and backups. I think that I still think that there are plans in the works, and I don't think it's all draft related.
But you're running out of roster spots. Like, I mean, you only keep like four, five, six corners, and you have Ward, you have Stingley, you had Boyd, and then you signed three today.
Yeah, that's.
Quite a bit.
There's a decent chance that one of these guys signed today doesn't even make the team.
That's what I was thinking too.
I think so.
But I mean, most of these
the
guys
guaranteed
are
money's
like
gonna matter
$2 million,
in that case,
like $1 and $2 million deals, though. So like, I guess that's the reasoning that it doesn't really matter.
713-780-ESPN. Let's go to break. We've got a lot of people reacting to where the Texans are at right now in free agency. There's gonna be breaking news all day. We'll get to your calls, we'll get to your reaction. 713-780-3776. We know that Wilkins has signed. How intriguing is Eric Armstead to you as well? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Guys, let me tell you about the greatest indoor golf simulators that I've found, and it's a combo platter for you because it's also a great sports bar. It's X Golf and Katie. X Golf and Katie is absolutely fantastic. Eight of the best simulators you're ever going to find with the accuracy that you're looking for, that even if the weather's bad and you figure you can't get any golf in that day or range work, you can go to X Golf and Katy and you can get all the range work you need. You can use the same golf balls that you play with on the course. You use your clubs. You can play 50 courses around the world, or you can use it like a driving range and work on everything from putting and chipping. I said putting because it's the best putting on a simulator I've ever tried. And also get and dial in your wedges and your irons. And everything is measured for you, from the spin rate and the flight of the ball to the distance itself. It's fantastic. And did I mention the sports bar aspects? Great food, great beverage, tons of TVs, really clean and warm environment where you can do it all under one roof. It's like all your best entertainment, but it's focused on your favorite sport, and that's golf, while watching other sports too. Check them out today. Go to the website. It's xgolf.com and check out the Katy location. It's right there off of 99 and I-10. I mean, it's there's weeknight specials every day of the week. Lots going on, but I'm just telling you, once you've been once, you're going to want to go over and over again. It doesn't matter. You can play at night. Obviously, you can play in off times. You can play when the weather's bad, but you might just go there and work on your game. It's fantastic. Check out X Golf and Katy.
Found the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Brian's on a roll. This is how everybody feels about the Texans running back room, though. It might not include everybody's current feeling about the Texans and spending and stuff, like Lamont's happy. A lot of the Hive here, we say this all the time, the Hive are the smartest listeners in all of Houston sports radio. And they're not panicking about where the Texans are. There's some. There's a sprinkle. We'll get to those as we go on. But I think that there is some concern about the running back spot. I think
there should
some
be,
real
right?
concern about the running back
if
spot.
If Damian Pierce is the only running back you have on the roster right now, and everybody's just foregone conclusion was going to be that Singletary was going to be back, that's the first time that you actually could legitimize throwing the red flag and going, timeout, wait a minute, what? Because that was the one that everybody thought was going to happen no matter what. He played well here. Everybody spoke highly of him. He said it was the most fun he ever had playing football, playing here. It seemed like a no-brainer until it wasn't. Now, there is legitimate concern about the running back position. There's no doubt.
Yeah. Texans just sent an update on Dylan Horton. He's in remission of Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Hodgkin's lymphoma?
Yeah.
He was the defensive end that took off in the middle of the season
from TCU.
For personal concerns, yeah.
I don't like the timing of this.
Why? Is that basically they're doing that to tell you that they're
doing
done?
In the middle? No, I don't think they're doing it to the done.
Don't get mad at us.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I wish they would have done this yesterday. Like, and I hate that I'm thinking that way, but how can you not? Like, I wish they would have done
it. That's the first thought I had.
Like, do it yesterday.
Yeah, I see your point.
Like, and I don't want to have that thought, but how can you not have that thought? Like, we hear about Friday news dumps all the time. Like you deliver the bad news on a Friday. That way it doesn't, you know, it has other things can happen over the weekend. It's going to get buried by the time Monday's news comes around. We're in the thick of free agency right now. Texans fans are not too pleased, and you're dropping this in the thick of it. Like, this should have been given its own individual time slot. This should have been last night, yesterday. And look, maybe it was Dylan Horton, and Dylan Horton wanted to come out with it today. And like, hey, this is the time to do it. If that's the case, I'm sorry. But if this was like Texans PR that was sitting on it and like strategically timing when they were going to drop this, I think that's ugly.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that.
And I hope it's not that.
I hope you're right, too. But you're right. I mean, the timing of this is very, very curious.
Yeah. Okay. Look, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. We said that. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. 713-780-ESPN. Let's head out to the HRMP listener line. Vera, you're in the hive of the bees. What's up, Vera?
Hey, guys. I appreciate you letting me call in. I think we are not quite at the point where we need to start panicking. Yes, there is this part of Singletary that a lot of us assume may will get re-signed, but there are still a lot of big-name players out there, both for the interior defensive line, Arik Armstead, in the linebacker arena. All of us were expecting Patrick Queen, but I think Frankie Louvu or Aziz Alshire are significantly better fits in the D'Amico system. There's still somebody like a Quandre Diggs who could come and compete for starting spot at cornerback. We could get a Jordan Poyer who would be the free safety. So there is still that, which could still happen in the next few days. So there is really no need for us to sort of start panicking. We could even get somebody like a Chase Young to play on a one-year flyer deal and see if that works out. And still go maybe a Jared Wirsch or a Chop Robinson falls to us at 23. If not, take the best player available if it's a defensive back. I don't think Quinion Mitchell is going to fall that far, but if one of those top corners are available at 23, just go take a flyer on them and sign up. So I don't think we are at the part yet. New England were always notoriously famous for not going splashing, doing a big splash. And I think, like a lot of very smart football pundits say, you know, seasons aren't won or divisions aren't won on day one of free agency. It's won just when you build it through the draft. And I think for what he has done over the last couple of drafts, Nick deserves he deserves the benefit of the doubt. I wanted to get your thoughts on it. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Vera. I thought Vera was going to cover what they were going to do at punter. I wasn't sure who the punter, who's out there for the punter.
I'm rooting for another Aussie.
He, with every reason too, because it seems like that's the both college and pro. There's a lot of success with the Australian punters. That'd be fantastic, but they gotta fill a void there too. Look, I think that there are options. We know that there are options, but right now what they're telling you is exactly what we kind of warned you of. They're not going to be the options, no matter who they sign, that are probably going to knock your socks off and be the kind of impact signings that you're waiting for. Right, you're seeing guys walk out the door because he didn't feel like that their price tag was worth their value on what he was going to get back for them. He's signing like cheap guys that might be the next version of Blake Cashman or some of the guys that he found that he brought in that turned out to be good fits. And the one thing that I think is curious, because we talked about the transition from like Patriot South to like San Francisco South, it's looking like that there's a chance anyway that D'Amico could bring in some of the guys he mentioned and bring in Alshire and bring in Armstead and suddenly start recreating some pretty key pieces that he had in San Francisco, along with some good pieces like Anderson, like Harris, like some of the guys and Stingley, guys he already has, and create a similar type defense. And that might be interesting because I think that has a chance to succeed.
Yeah, I agree with Vera. Like, Nick Caserio doesn't have it in his DNA to overspend.
It's true.
And there's been multiple clues to that. We thought that maybe it would change because there's still time. Like, I still expect him to spend this money. I just think he's going to spread it out instead of signing two or three of the big names. And Vera laid out a bunch of options. We've talked about a bunch of different options. I still think Caserio is going to spend a majority amount of the money. And I think it's far too early to say that Nick Caserio is cheap and all of these things. But Nick Caserio talking at the combine, we want to have good depth. We want to be balanced. Okay, well, there's a clue that they're not going to be big game hunting. Nick Caserio, previous years in free agency, and I get that this year's free agency is much different than his previous years of free agency, but what did he do in the previous years of free agency? We went through every single free agent signing that Nick Caserio has made in his tenure as the Houston Texans general manager. He had signed one real free agent to a contract more than 2 years, and that was a punter in Cam Johnston. So he doesn't have it in his DNA to spend above market value. He doesn't think that it's in the good health of the organization, the franchise. And quite frankly, I don't disagree with him. There's still going to be quality value free agents. I think he signed one. I think Autry's a good value free agent. If you're paying him $10 million a year and he's giving you over 10 sacks a year, okay, that's cool. You're getting more than a sack per $1 million that you're giving. Look at the John Gernard comparison. John Gernard just had a career year, 12 and a half sacks. He had never been over double-digit sacks in his career. He got $19 million. You're paying him more than $1 million
per sack. Either
that or
he's going to have one hell of a year.
Yeah.
To get 19
really
sacks.
Year. See, Casario's a value guy. We know that about Nick Caserio. So what he's doing today really isn't a surprise to me.
Me either, because that's what we said. We kind of set it up for you. They're not going to go boom or bust. They're not going to do the things that you're hoping that they do to satisfy what you want to see with this team going forward. He's trying to do the feasible, smart thing to do to build this team for the long haul. Yes, obviously everybody wants to be better for next season. And obviously their plan is that they're still going to do that. But in the meantime, they're not going to handicap themselves and handcuff themselves for the future for the betterment of 1 year, 2 years. But the 1 and 2 year deals that he's signing are just what we expected. Guys that are going to fill roster spots, can compete for different spots on the team. Not necessarily what you're looking for starters yet. But until it's all over with, there's so many different ways he can still get this done and get better football players where he needs them.
Yeah, 0584, is Matt Ariza available, or is it too much if they were to hire him? Is that the punter?
That's the punter that signed with Kansas City.
The punt god, he's not available anymore. He signed with Kansas City. 6860, you need to spend while you have a quarterback and a rookie contract. Once CJ signs his big contract, then you can spread it around and penny pinch. I think Nick Caserio is still going to spend. Like, the Texans have $60 million in cap space. I would be stunned if they have greater than $10 million by the time free agency's over with.
Yeah, like I said, let's just be patient, take a deep breath, relax, because I still think there are moves to be made. And I think there are going to be some guys that end up coming in that you'll be pleased with. They might not be the big splash you were hoping for, but I think there's still plenty of potential to make this roster better for next season.
Let's see where free agency takes us. 713-780-ESPN to the Texans swing and miss. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about my good friend Doc Linville and the fact that he is the best in the business at the NeoGraft procedure. I'm telling you because I know from personal experience. I did the NeoGraft. It got my hair back. It's absolutely a game changer, and he can do the same thing for you. The best thing about it is you listen to us, you hear me talking about him, you want to talk to him, you don't have to pay the $150 consultation fee that most people have to pay. You listen to us, you get a consultation with him for free. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com. No out-of-pocket, no signing on the dotted line, no commitments, just you asking questions, getting answers, finding out if it's right for you like it was for me. First thing that Doc Linville said to me when I met with him and had my consultation was, you do realize that the hair on the sides and the back of your head never go away no matter how bald you go in other areas, which I did not know. And he said, I just take some of those, repurpose them where you need them most, and suddenly you get a better coverage area, you feel better about your appearance, you get more self-confidence. And the best part is he's taking it from a spot where it never goes away, so 95 to 99% of the follicles he moves aren't going anywhere for the rest of your life. It's a game changer. Check them out today. Go to 975hair.com. Sign up for your free consultation. Talk to them and see if it's right for you like it was for me. I can't recommend him enough. He's the best in the business. Go see Doc Linville today.